If Irish eyes are smiling, it's because I'm ready to swipe right.
You may be the word on the street, but I'm the talk of the town.
Oh, yes.
It's a classic.
It's a I love a town talker.
Yeah, I love a timely tagline, too. I just... I couldn't do it this time. I'm so sorry, Sarah.
No. I love a repeat tag because I love a repeat guest. And the only thing more than I love... Wait, words are fun. The only thing I love more than recording with this guest is recording with this guest in the Clawfest. So we just need to give it up for that because I have a feeling this is going to be a little bit of a deep dive. You guys, it's Annie's Girls. It's episode I have literally no idea. And I'm so excited to be joined once again in the Claw for hashtag Claw Talk by host of the podcast We Should Talk, Gibson Johns. Gibson, how are we?
I'm back in heaven in the Claw, so how can I not be good? No, it is. It's been a week for several reasons.
Yeah.
You know, we're being fed as Bravo fans, so there's nothing to complain about there.
We are being fed as Bravo
fans.
The one thing I always tell people is hold the mic to your, like, pretend it's a dick. Perfect. Okay. Right there.
Make me feel some type of way.
I'm a little, podcast is rated R for a reason. So I have to ask you just genuinely, how are we feeling? You have a podcast, you're writing about this stuff, you're on the ground with these Bravo Lebs, Scandoval seemingly taken over the universe. Like, what is your temperature right now?
My temperature's high. Yeah. In mostly a good way. I would say there I would say that, like, It's been such a great 2 weeks in terms of just like
the high.
There's been it's such a high.
Yeah.
Like every day there's something new. You know, they're feeding the machine as they should be doing. Ariana just posted for the first time, so we know that she's like in healing mode and doing better, which is great. I think Dylan from Betches posted this somewhere, but like it's teetering on just like, Maybe we should slow down a little bit.
Yeah. You know what I mean? We're running on 100. Like, this won't last forever.
And
we
listen,
need to pace.
I know, and I love that she's doing this, and I know that she has the sign off from Ariana. But Kristen Doty is running around town on a little press tour, and you know what? I love it. But like, four of them have podcasts, so I don't know if we need to, like, going on like Nick Vile's podcast to also do an hour and a half talk about it. So like, which I did listen to, of course.
Yeah, we both
but
listened.
Like, it's almost like a... I love information overload, but the system is almost malfunctioning for me. You know what I mean?
Well, I have to say it's been real difficult to catch up. And like this morning, I slept for the first time in days. So I woke up really late.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I woke up at like whatever o'clock and I was like, oh, Ariana posted 10 hours ago. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea. Like I just to catch. And then there's a TMZ thing that Raquel is maybe not going to the reunion unless she is. And all of this stuff. And it's like, my God, you miss a couple hours.
Totally.
And there's a whole new chapter.
Yeah.
That's
it's
been
like
written.
Last night I dared to go to a concert.
How dare you?
Instead of watching Vanderpump Rules live. And then I felt like immediately behind. So I watched Vanderpump Rules this morning at 7:45 and then watched Katie on Watch What Happens Live with Danny, and which was great. But yeah, it's a lot to keep up with, and I'm not complaining about it, but it's a lot.
It is a marathon, not a sprint.
Absolutely.
But I do have to say, all that being said, and I know we're going to get into it, and I do want to talk about Nick's podcast. Gold medal to Danny Pellegrino, who said on social before going and Watch What Happens, he's like, I have some questions. I'm going to ask them. And then he fucking did.
He did.
To an extent that I was like, I have nothing that I would add to this. He's covering every base, including asking about the reunion and the restraining order, which you could tell Andy wasn't thrilled about discussing. And I was like, you know what? We need
to give
Danny Pellegrino a goddamn parade for his appearance. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was when the whole thing happened, I was really curious how they were going to deal with Watch What Happens Live of it all.
Yes.
Because like, obviously throw Lisa on there for the first week and she can kind of give like the state of the union thing. But then it's like after that, it's hard because they're obviously you know, they want to save a lot of it for the filming.
Right.
They want to save a lot of it for the reunion. They're not really allowed to go in depth on their podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, how in depth are they going to go on Watch What Happens Live?
Right.
It's this kind of weird thing where, like, I do want to see them there, but I also, I kind of am like, I'm sort of like, save the details for when, for the end of the season when there's those new episodes that are just filmed. Like, I'm really curious about those, and I don't want them to feel like almost outdated by the time they air. You know what I mean?
I do. I have found it interesting that, like, Andy is asking these very specific questions that we want answered because he knows that they can't answer.
Right.
Which he did with Katie when he was like, so ba-da-da-da, and she's like, she looks a little quizzical, and she's like, I don't think she was like,
let's save it. You know what
I mean?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that he is aware, certainly, of the
course.
Things that they can and cannot ask. I very much appreciate that the questions are being
100%.
Asked.
I'm not complaining. I think it's just, it's such a new situation for the whole Bravo
everybody.
Thing to
this
be
has
in.
Never happened before.
Yeah,
in
exactly.
This way. It has never happened before.
It's like, yeah, usually it's just sort of like, I'll address it at the reunion, but it's like, no, I'll address it at the reunion, but I also addressed it in my confessional yesterday. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a first of its kind viewing experience, and I'm really excited about it. But it's like the level of read that you have to do in this while watching it and kind of parsing through everything is really, it's a little bit elevated, honestly.
Yeah, and I had never listened, I don't think, to Lala.
Give them
Kristen,
Lala.
Right. Lala, Kristen, or Stassi's podcast before.
Yep.
But I listened to and then summarized, which you can see on my Instagram on one of the Scandoval highlights. There are now three, by the way, because each one only holds 100 stories.
That's telling us everything.
Yeah. So I summarized them, but I thought that there were things noting what Lala is and is not able to discuss versus Kristen and Stassi, who have no...
Exactly.
The only potential boundaries they have around opening content, around opening up about with content, is due to potential friendships with people involved. Mm-hmm. So surely they're not telling us literally everything, but I do appreciate the insights that we're getting. And you mentioned that you listened to Nick Vile's podcast. Mm-hmm. I actually thought, while there's valuable insights in what I've listened to, I actually thought his was the most interesting.
He actually, even though I really did not like him on his various appearances in the Bachelor universe, which I don't engage with anymore, but back when he was around, I was very much in that.
Okay.
He has really rebranded himself, and this show is actually pretty good. He had Raven from Almost Bind on a couple weeks ago, and that was the first time I had tapped into it for a while. And she had just got cheated on, and it was her big tell all. She hadn't gone anywhere else.
Oh my god, I need to listen to that episode.
Honestly. But point being, like, he's sort of doing like a Call Her Daddy esque like casting thing where, like, you can tell he's casting these.
He's
really,
on the pulse.
Yeah, he's really on the pulse. He's starting to get really good bookings and. Good for him, honestly. And they do a good job on that. And I think it's really smart. They have the female perspective in some of these, like, kind of side co-hosts on that show.
Right.
But Kristen was great. I think he has the male perspective of, like, basically like a reformed fuckboy. So he, like, he like knows about all this shit. Like, he's probably been Sandoval before, you know? And he's also been Ariana. He's been cheated on. So it's sort of, it was a pretty good conversation.
So I don't know him from Adam, aside from, like, what I've seen on people.com, because I don't watch The Bachelor.
Right.
So I don't have really a perspective or history to form an opinion of him. So I just listened to the episode of, like, I know he's on The Bachelor and I know that people have passionate feelings about him, but I don't actually know what those feelings are or why. And I thought he was asking a lot of really emotionally curious questions, and a lot of questions that seem to be very grounded in, like, how is Ariana? Is she safe? And also, here are the reasons why Schwartz and Sandoval, for example's reactions have been particularly wounding, where there doesn't seem to necessarily be an awareness or space specifically created to make sure that Ariana is okay, which I thought was a great thing to hear someone say.
Mm-hmm. Especially a straight man.
Yeah,
regardless of his reputation. Yeah, I think that I agree. I think it was, and, like, to learn on that podcast that, like, he is not leaving the house. He's refusing to leave the house, and that Sandoval's refusing to leave the house, and he physically won't give her that space. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't get it. Like, I'm sorry. That just point, all these little details that Kristen especially is dropping.
Right.
He doesn't get it. His apology was empty. Like, I don't think he believes that what he, I feel like he probably thinks that he's like the object of cancel culture, and he probably thinks that like it's the treatment's undeserved, and it's like, I just don't know if he's ever going to do that self-reflection, you know?
Right. And I think there's a difference between saying, according to Kristen and some other people who have said similarly in other reports that we've seen come out, to me there's a difference between like Sandoval refusing to leave the house that he and Ariana bought together, which mm-hmm. is what Kristen said on the podcast. Kristen said he continues to return to the house. He refuses to give Ariana notice. And he said at one point, Kristen was trying to reason. They said that here's someone that can come in and mediate, who's a third party here, who both of these people trust. He refused all of that. They've tried to reason with him, working off of like what they think he would want to hear of, you know, we know you're not a bad guy, but for this woman who you were in a committed relationship for mm-hmm. seemingly a decade, please be aware that she doesn't feel safe in her house right now, and it would be helpful for us to establish some boundaries. And he won't do that, and not only won't he do it, but it seems like he is upset by the idea that Ariana has been affected,
right?
And seems to be upset about the idea that he might need to, God forbid, adjust things that he thinks he has a right to access to alleviate continued distress on this woman he was seemingly in love with, bought property together with, and was in a relationship with. Like, it's not so much his mm-hmm. response, according to Kristen, was like, she can essentially about Ariana, like, she can go fuck herself. If she's upset that I'm here, she should leave. Mm-hmm. As opposed to listening to this through the lens of like, I don't want this person to feel more and new upset because of my actions. Maybe I should get a cheap hotel. Maybe I should stay with Raquel. Maybe I should get like an Airbnb. That it appears that Sandoval's reactions to all of this is like, I am not going to do anything because I shouldn't have to.
Right. And also it's like, it's backed up by the fact that like the word on the street is that in the scene that they filmed together,
Sandoval and Ariana filmed this bonus episode together.
Yeah, which is
after the affair became public.
The word on the street is that in that scene, he basically is like, well, we've been broken for a long time, and you know that, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, essentially, you know, trying to like defend or reason with why he did this. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that does not excuse any of this. And like, I think that it's all being backed up by just like, he doesn't think that he knows he did something wrong, but I don't think he realizes how wrong it was and how seismic it really was, which is just so disappointing.
Yeah, and I think from the perspective of like Kristen is talking about this, and you know, Ariana's friends are talking about this, according to Kristen and some of her other cast members, like existing cast members, Ariana does want her friends mm-hmm. to rally around her and speak about this publicly, because Ariana either feels like she can't or isn't able to right now, and only in the last several hours has Ariana had a statement, which I'll read in a second, but has Ariana like had a statement saying, acknowledging what's taken place. So I appreciate the fact that not only is Kristen like doubling down and sharing her perspective, she was in a long-term relationship with Sandoval mm-hmm. as well. She obviously, everything that happened with Jax, like she has a specific voice.
Her opinion is very pertinent here.
Her opinion is pertinent. She has, to me, the right to use it.
100%.
And it's helpful for anyone who is genuinely concerned about Ariana and might say, wait, like, are you doing this for other reasons? We want to make sure Ariana is protected. And I appreciate that Kristen's like, no, Ariana wants me to speak out, and I'm doing that. And in addition to doing that, obviously we're talking about Nick's pod, she's talking about how there's like a fucking Google sheet or Excel spreadsheet of all of Ariana's friends tracking her meals. Is she eating? Who is hanging out with her? Because she doesn't feel comfortable right now being alone. And mm-hmm. according to Kristen, Ariana's like, how am I going to deal with this when I have to be by myself? And Kristen's response to her, which I thought was filled with so much love and understanding, was like, you don't have to be alone. Mm-hmm. If you are concerned about how you are going to feel being alone, especially if Sandoval is in your house with you and there's nobody else, we will make sure that you are not by yourself, which to me is like absolute friendship of like, don't feel bad for being nervous about how you will feel when you're alone, and let us support you. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not about delaying the inevitable or protecting you from reality. It's about just being here
and making sure she's okay.
Because just she was betrayed two times over.
100%.
She was betrayed by her longtime love, and she was betrayed by her very good friend.
Exactly. Exactly. And yeah, I think that hearing the Excel spreadsheet was a really interesting detail.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I think one of the initial reactions to Kristen posting that video with her the first weekend, mm-hmm. and but going so deep on her own podcast the first week, I think one of the assumptions, which, you know, I think was a valid assumption at first, was like, oh, she's just doing this for clout. Like, and then she starts to, then she films a scene and people are like, oh, she wants to be back on the show. She put all that to rest on the Nick interview, where she was just like, I actually don't want to be associated with this show.
Right.
I'm doing this for Ariana because she asked me that and said that she needed me to do this, literally needed me to film this with her so that she could talk it out with somebody who has,
yeah,
again, like knows the situation very intimately. And I believe Kristen. I believe
same.
Everything that I've heard from Kristen in the past 2 weeks, which is more than I've heard from her in the past 2 years,
100%.
Shows me a lot of growth. Shows me that she has a lot better perspective on things. I don't think she's perfect. I think she's still Kristen. Like, we know who mm-hmm. Kristen is. But I think that I really do think that she's matured a lot. And I think that she has a lot more empathy in her. And I don't believe she wants me back on the show. I think she filmed one scene and that's mm-hmm. it. So I just think that that argument also was put to bed. And I'm happy she put that to bed.
There is also, though, noting, you know, there are friends of Sheena's, former friends of Ariana, people going on various podcasts discussing things, and it gets into questions. You know, for example, Andy asked Katie, what are your questions? What questions do you want asked at the reunion? And mm-hmm. Katie was like, I have two. Number one, when did this start? And number two, when did Schwartz find out?
Yep, Schwartz was my biggest question.
So I do need to ask about number one and number two, yep. because Kristen said on Nick's podcast, she was essentially confirming rumors, but I don't know based on what. According to Kristen, Raquel and Sandoval were the ones kissing at Coachella, which was this, you know,
right.
spring, obviously. And we are under the impression this affair has been going on for 7 months. So that mathematically, according to people who do participate in solving math equations,
which is not me,
which is
I dabble
at sample sales. If you ever and at a restaurant, I know 20% and I know 70% extremely well. I am genuinely like the Rain Man of math when it has to do with any kind of retail or hospitality. It's actually kind of scary.
Listen, that's a skill.
Thank you. It was not on my PSAT or big girl SAT.
They don't teach life skills early enough.
You know,
like that.
I do not know long division.
That is self-taught.
But I am a self-taught savant. And guys, don't feel bad if that is not you. It is in fact me.
It can't be all of us.
Can't be all of us. Gotta save it. So according to Kristen, and who
yes.
knows what's actually happening, Raquel and Sandoval kissed at Coachella, which would imply, or not even imply, it would make this whole 7 month idea invalid.
It would make it that a longer period.
Right. Make the affair a longer period. And who knows if the affair started then or they were making out or
right.
whatever. And then Sheena's friends, or formerly Ariana's friends, I don't entirely, not Ariana, Sheena's friends, maybe with a friendship with Raquel too, said on a podcast that they were told, I think by Raquel, that it started at or after boys' night, which we just watched take place.
I saw something about that. So my read on it, I guess, not even my guess, like the way that I'm trying to put it together,
please,
using the math, I don't think
when Bravo Holmes,
yeah, man. I think that the Coachella thing, it seems like it is pretty much confirmed by like several parties, I guess. But,
is it?
Well, I mean, like, I feel like she said it, and then it's been
the Tom thing is
yeah,
confusing.
No, I think they kissed or made out at Coachella, and I think that it sort of is laid dormant for a long time.
Fuck.
That's what I kind of think. And then I think that at boys' night, there, I mean, I don't think that, sorry, I don't think that earlier in the episode when they're on this girls trip, I don't think that she, I think that people were sort of tweeting and commentating on it as if like it was already happening.
That the, her meltdown in the car.
Yeah, which I actually don't think.
Okay.
I kind of think that it started with boys' night. And which would have been.
That would go in line with the 7 months.
Yeah. And.
Along those lines.
And like somebody was like, oh, but he was wearing the lightning bolt necklace in that episode. But Katie said that he's been wearing that for a long time. Because it's like sort of part of his brand, I guess.
Yeah, so, I guess the
So she got a matching one.
Or
right.
he gave one or to he gave, her. Yeah, exactly. So essentially the lightning bolt, which was a
that's
part
not
a, of the
that's
Tom
not an
Tom
indicator.
Design,
yeah.
It, while they did have their shared jewelry language, yes. he had an existing lightning bolt. And then she.
Yeah. Hashtag shared jewelry language. Right. Yes, exactly. yeah, that's my read on it. And I don't think Schwartz. I think that Schwartz was just being, I think that he was sort of being used as like, he didn't know he was being used as a, as a ploy, as a sort of red herring almost. And, but then Kristen said on Nick's podcast.
Right. This is just a response to Nick's.
Yeah, no, it basically is. But like that's, but the thing about this whole thing is that like, you kind of have to go off the latest thing that you got.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Media and, like, always changing.
There we go. But like, I'm sure tomorrow, like Sheena will drop a podcast. Right. You know what I mean? I think her thing comes out on Fridays. Now I know their schedules.
Oh God.
But she said that she had this best friend of like 8 years, Joe. Did you remember this part of the podcast?
Yes.
Joe. Who she doesn't speak to anymore because she started dating Schwartz.
This woman, Joe, who he is referred yep. to on his on,
yeah, he's
on
referred
BPR,
to her, but
sort of,
which like I don't,
barely.
But I really don't know who she is. But Kristen said that it was her best friend,
day to day bestie.
Yep. And then she stopped talking to her when she started dating Schwartz last summer. And then in the fall, Schwartz, Joe, Raquel, and Sandoval would hang out all the time, according to her, and they were essentially going on double dates. So, like, to me, that's like, okay, so Schwartz knew before December, probably, which is, like, the timeline we were given somewhere. I can't keep track of where everything's coming from. But so what does he think he was doing? Hanging out with the girl he's dating, his best friend, and then, like, their random female friend? Like, come on. Joe and Schwartz knew what was going on at that point. They had to have. I don't believe that he didn't know until the end of last year. Like, that doesn't make... If they're hanging out as a foursome all the time, if what Kristen said is to believed, which I think her word is like pretty valid right now.
Well, I think a lot of this is people looking back at the history of relationships and saying, because we now know that betrayal took place, how are we viewing any kind of social activity that took place with the cast on camera and off? And because Schwartz and Sandoval are such good friends, is it possible that Schwartz did not know until a month prior to the news coming out, which is what he has told several people in the cast.
If they're so close, I don't believe that's possible. And then there was the TMZ interview he did like at the airport where right. he like, again, should have just walked away. Like he engaged with them for over 2 minutes as if he was like being held hostage. It was the weirdest interview ever. And
he's very friendly.
He wasn't that... The energy, the emotions that were attached to either when he was talking about Raquel and Sandoval mm-hmm. and Ariana, like it just didn't add up to like being fully team Ariana for me. And it was just like kind of, I don't know. I'm not really trusting what's coming from that corner.
Well, I mean, he did first say in that interview he was concerned about the effect on business and then was like, but most importantly, of course, Ariana. But
right,
the thing
but,
that
but
you
mentioned
first was
business first. Yeah, exactly.
Which is what Sandoval said in his first apology.
Did you not die at Katie on Watch What Happens Live when she was like, I texted him about that immediately and was like, what the fuck? And he was like, I was tired. And she was like, you used the word auspicious. You were not tired. That was like iconic of her, I thought.
And there were rumors that maybe because the original outlet that had the interview was, what is it?
Wasn't it
Backgrid?
Backgrid, which was then sold to TMZ.
And they had also, the last time he had spoken to this like one paparazzi person, videographer, however you want to encapsulate, describe them, that was the day his divorce was announced or something. Mm. So it's like.
So he has him on his speed dial.
Well, that was a question. And Katie's response was like, absolutely right. not. Like,
he's not
smart enough.
To, yeah. No, I love that. Like. Katie's energy around this, I'm really loving it. Like it's not too
it's real good.
It's not like Kristen's is like a little bit like in your face and mm-hmm. Katie's is like a little bit more lackadaisical, but it's still like pretty intense. Mm-hmm. And she like doesn't give a fuck. Like she said like three times on Watch What Happens Live that she like texted Schwartz about something and like was just like, what the fuck, dude?
like
give me an answer on this. So, but she still doesn't, but she wouldn't say when she thinks he knew.
Right. And the thing is,
it's interesting. She wouldn't ask him that.
Well, and I think a part of her response is like, we're not good right now. So,
right. But she'll still text him about like the interview.
I don't know. I think also a lot of this is going to come up at the reunion. Yeah. And maybe at a certain point, you don't believe that this person's going to tell you the truth anyway.
Uh-huh.
So
get him in front of Andy. And right. Push him.
So yeah. Her priority is like supporting Ariana because she doesn't trust that Schwartz is going to tell her the truth. But, and again, it's like drinking game every time I reference Nick Vile. But there was one thing that he said that I wrote down when I was listening to the episode because I thought it was really interesting, which was friends don't protect your secrets. They protect your character. Mm. And I thought that was really interesting in light of the frustration that people have felt about Schwartz. If, let's say, he found out a month prior, which is still a month before word got out, why he didn't tell Ariana, who he was also friends with, which brings up the question that, like, if your best friend is cheating on your very good friend, who I'm sure you love and want to support otherwise, do you tell them what's actually happening? Which I think is a question that you would think would give an immediate response, but is potentially a lot more complicated.
Yeah, I think that at the very least, he should have pushed Sandoval to tell her.
Right.
Instead of having her find out over a month later, whenever that was, via TMZ.
Right.
I'm sorry. Or no, sorry, not via TMZ, via the phone thing.
Right. Via Sandoval's phone. Yeah,
sorry.
Phone.
Like
right.
via the video. But like, if he had told, if he knew about it. So if he had Sandoval be a man and confront it head on himself, he would have saved some of Sandoval's character too. By being like, he obviously betrayed her and fucked up and was having a 7-month-long affair with one of their good friends. But at least he would have been the person bringing it up and bringing it to her. You know what I mean? And then his, I don't know. I mean, there's nothing to save it. But like him avoiding it, it just implicates him.
Right.
And again, maybe it goes back to Katie's thing where he's just like not, he doesn't think about that in that way enough.
Yeah. Paris is always a good idea, and when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French bravoholic, for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. Conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL.
And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andysgirls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andysgirls. Sign up today. Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo, and when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth, and when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this. Violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon.
I don't know. And now he's out filming Winter House, you know, where he's probably being badgered with questions about it.
Yeah, and it gets into this, I think the reason that there has been so much upset by fans, obviously by Ariana's friends and loved ones, is because there are so many layers of betrayal, mm-hmm. noting that all things are not created equal in this sense. There is the betrayal of her partner of over a decade, the betrayal of her very good friend for however many years, engaging in a long-term affair with her partner of over a decade, and then her good friend, who she stood up for at his wedding, Schwartz, betraying her by, you know, closing his eyes to what was going on and not informing her in the month or months plus in which he knew this was happening. And I think all of that together has led to this kind of thunderstorm of frustration that people have on Ariana's behalf, because at a certain point, if you can't trust your love, right, your long-term committed, we cannot say enough that they've been together for almost a decade. That is an extremely long amount of time.
Common law.
I mean, essentially, I don't know California state law, but like, yeah, spiritually common law.
A lot of time
is
10 years, yeah.
Right? And your very good friend who you have protected, defended, invited to many, many, many different aspects of your life while they were having this affair. And also your friend who you were a part of, you know, his groom's party at his wedding to Katie. I think the processing of the betrayal is very, very complicated.
Very.
And where do you find safety?
In the few friends that she can really trust. Mm. The girls that have rallied around her. She has a couple really good off-camera friends that are clearly coming to her defense and aid and just being there. I think it's just one of the smartest ways that she has approached this and tackled this was by just using her friends as spokespeople basically for her.
Yeah.
Because they operate in this world, so they know how to communicate this kind of thing outwards, and they are adept at discussing these things, mm-hmm. and dealing with these scandals, not to this proportion, but like, whereas Sandoval and Raquel, they don't have any spokespeople. Schwartz was not going to stick his neck out like that, even if he was like harboring the secret for him. He wasn't going to like go on a bunch of podcasts and defend Sandoval because there's nothing to defend. So they had to rely on these like really badly worded personal statements or these like really safely worded PR statements that are completely inauthentic. I mean, even compare those to the statement that Ariana put out on Instagram. Like hers was so her. It was to the point. It had emotion in it. It had a little bit of like sass at the end with the lyric, and it just like, comparing those to what Raquel and Sandoval have put out, it's night and day. And so it's just interesting. Like I think that she took the power so well in the reaction by using her famous friends who are in similar positions as her, and just letting them go loose. And I think it was that she was always going to have the support, but they have turned it up the volume into like fever pitch for her.
Yeah. And the irony is, the irony is in watching this episode, there was an absolute sense of isolation that Raquel obviously felt in how she felt that she was being mistreated mm-hmm. by women who were, you know, acting as like, as Lala later said, with no sense of irony, as like the head cheerleader here mm-hmm. of like people who she was listening to, you know, them make fun of her and mock her. And now in real time, she's isolated to such a high degree that I don't know how you get through this if you are not surrounded by people who have your back or are at least going to make sure that you're okay. Like, you know, there's a difference between dragging someone's behavior and calling them out, and I think rightfully so, for this extreme betrayal, and also acknowledging that, like, surely she has to feel. I'm not saying people shouldn't. I will continue to talk about how horrifying I think Raquel's behavior has been, but I also like acknowledge like the isolation she may have felt during filming, coupled with the isolation she feels now because of her behavior. Mm-hmm. It just has to be. I'm just acknowledging the environment.
Totally,
particularly overwhelming.
And you have to wonder, like, one of my biggest things, one of the things that has been like sort of lingering, because we also don't know. She put out that second statement that was like, you know, Tom and I are working on like defining what our relationship
which,
is. Which,
right, LOL.
Now. I mean, that was so weird.
Like,
but like
anyone cares.
No, and that was so weird. But like
about
but
defining
like,
a relationship.
If there's one person who can like actually be there for her, it's this person that she was apparently, they were apparently in, like head over
according
heels in love with each
to
other.
Her,
you know what I'm
and
saying?
Maybe his
but you know what
dick,
I'm saying? Like,
it, right.
To your point, like if there's one person that should be supporting her,
it's
him.
This guy, and you know he is.
And you know he's not. He's holed up in his room at. While Ariana's crying downstairs, you know what I mean? Like it's, that just, that kind of doubles down on his shittiness, honestly, is because like he won't even be there for the woman that he was carrying on this tryst with for 7 months. It's sort of like, you know, to none of it's worth it, obviously, but like, I kind of hoped that they were going to stay together because then what was this all for? You know what I mean? in from their eyes. It's like you just blew up your entire life.
And the life of this other innocent party, Ariana.
Yeah, of course. For something, for someone you're not even going to stay with. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's this, not that that would make it better. It's just sort of like, what was it? What was the point? Right. You know? And I don't know. It's, I can't even say enough how excited I am to see the footage and to get an explanation, you know?
And the thing that Andy kept saying over and over again in the lead up to this new episode was like, just make sure you guys know it wasn't re-edited, which is important for us to know.
Definitely.
And I think it was also important to see the way that like Katie was reacting to some of this. And in some of Lala's responses, the idea of like, something is going on here where you don't have an awareness of boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, it should, regardless of what Sheena is saying about what you are and are not allowed to do, there is a lack of awareness or interest in understanding boundaries when it comes to your relationships with women.
Yeah, 100%. I think that Raquel is just, she's just like immature, you know? I don't think that she's like emotionally developed. I don't think that she doesn't think like that, you know? And what was interesting about watching this episode is like, if Scandoval had not happened,
right,
you would have read it as her being sort of, you know, not bullied, but sort of ganged up on. You would have seen her as, you know, the Bambi-eyed victim again. You would have seen her as kind of ill-equipped to handle that moment, but like we would have felt bad for her in that moment. But because Scandoval happened, I didn't feel bad for her in that moment at all. And you did?
I'm giving eyes. I definitely did.
Oh,
When she was poking in and hearing what the women were saying about the stuff about what happened when Lala was like, I wouldn't trust any man with you. And she's like, well, thank God you don't have a man. That is one moment where I was like, oh, fuck. Like, babe, like, what are you doing?
But
the flip side of it is like her listening to what her friends or cast members or the only people she's on this trip with right now saying about her, making fun of her, is not an easy experience
I'm not saying it's easy, but like in hindsight, like her behavior, I'm just like, knowing what she has done, she can't be surprised that people are talking about her like that.
Well, I mean, let us assume the reality that we're, for the purposes of conversation,
okay,
that the affair with Sandoval hadn't happened until boys' night, sometime shortly thereafter. Let us assume that her breakdown in the car was maybe related to what she said.
I felt bad in the breakdown. I didn't feel bad in the Vegas hotel room.
Okay.
I felt for the panic attack. Of course.
Right.
No, I was talking about the hotel room.
Yeah.
And kind of the dinner. The panic attack, absolutely.
I mean, and an absolute sense that she doesn't know who she is. And she's at one point, how old is she? Is she 28 years old?
I think she's 27, 28. Yeah.
Listen, let us remember Ageless by Ramona. I think that there has been a conversation of like, listen, she's in her 20s. She's finding herself. And you can find people, look at Sandoval. You can find people making terrible decisions, regardless of whether or not they know who they are. Maybe they do. And that's part of the problem, in someone's 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. Your life experience at 28 versus 41 or 42 is probably going to be different.
Definitely.
Your fame experience at 28, where she is now in the cast, versus what Sandoval has experienced
at 40,
is going to be very different.
Mm-hmm.
Is there the possibility that he took advantage in whatever situation or environment they were in when they both decided to engage in an affair with each other? Is it possible he was playing on some of her insecurities consciously or not? Yes. Is it possible that she was potentially either unaware or not interested in understanding the impact of this on Ariana initially? Yes. Is it possible that when she was posting captions with emojis referencing, as we are now aware, that she was going to be Tom's next girl, and saying that publicly on social media and wearing that fucking Thunder Belt necklace, which seemed to be an active way to humiliate your existing good friend while you're talking in press interviews about how great Ariana is. Yes, people, I think a lot of people have a lot of feelings of frustration, anger, empathy for Raquel in this situation because it's very complicated. And I think there are aspects of all of that that can be valid. And I also think that being a grown-ass adult at 28, regardless of her experiences and also connected to it, does not excuse, I'm not going to take away from her active decision to engage in this affair, regardless of whether or not she thought Tom is the guy for me. I'm not going to take away from her active participation in humiliating by the choices she made in fucking accessories, her behavior, including in social and professional environments where Ariana was also present, the fucking captions referencing the fact, as we now know, that she was fucking Sandoval. Like, I am not going to take away from that, not only in the impact of it on Ariana and other friends who were affected, but also in her intention. I think a lot of this can be all things, many things can be true at once, but they don't diminish her active choices.
For sure.
Which can happen at a multitude of different ages, including 28.
Of course. Well said. You made a lot of really good points in that. I think that, and sometimes the conversation has like centered so much on her, just right. Generally. Which I wrote, the first thing I wrote about was for our newsletter. I was just like, I'm glad that the blame seems to have been, at first, the blame sort of felt equally distributed.
Mm.
Because we know when things like this happen in the public eye, the woman usually gets a lot of the blame.
Right.
And I do think that, you know, it could be said that like some of the women who are sort of, again, acting as Ariana's mouthpieces, they have sort of shifted, I think, a little bit more towards Raquel, honestly. It sort of feels like that.
Including people that consider themselves good friends of Raquel.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
That's a big part of it, too. Yeah. And they were also betrayed.
For sure. For sure.
And Sandoval.
So yeah, but I think that's something that everyone should keep top of mind, which is like, I think Sandoval is more to blame.
Yes, he's the one in the fucking relationship.
Of course, but people forget. I think people sometimes forget that.
Yes, they absolutely do.
But I have seen this narrative of like, there are some people online who are like, yes, he betrayed Ariana, but like, why is everybody else inserting themselves into it, making it about themselves? It's not about them. And it's like, one, they were all betrayed because their betrayal pales in comparison to Ariana's. But like, you also have to think about the fact that like, when you're on a reality show, it's kind of what happened on Potomac, where like people get with Robin, where it was like she wasn't actually being authentic about her life. Mm. She wasn't sharing what was actually going on. And I think that when people find out, when your co-stars, when your coworkers find out that you have been, that a lot of your life has been one big lie, that you aren't being upfront,
entirety of her life was a lie. I think that
I'm not saying that, but this is a big aspect that she was lying about, and he was lying about. And part of the betrayal is like they got away with this big lie while the rest of them were being open and honest and
being held and vulnerable for what
and
they were,
and this is what they're paid
and how
for.
They were reacting.
This is a valuable platform to all of them. This is their main source of income. Like, I think that there's a level to this whole situation that's also sort of just like at a base level, Raquel, I almost called her Rachel, which I guess
it's
I can.
It's fine, whatever.
Raquel and Sandoval were getting away with not sharing a lot of their authentic lives. And when you're also on the show, that feels like unfair treatment, almost like you get away with, almost like getting away with murder. It's sort of like, I don't know if I'm explaining it right, but like they feel some type of way about that. There's a protectiveness of the show. And if it's been sort of a farce for some of them.
Well, I think, I don't know, I understand what you're saying about Potomac. I don't see as much of a correlation, but I do understand, aside from the idea of like, my husband, for example, is being held accountable for behavior he didn't engage in. Meanwhile, you're...
Oh, no, I'm talking about the Robin thing.
No, I know. I'm saying like from Candace's perspective, Chris was held to this high account and was also being accused of behavior he didn't engage in. Meanwhile, something may have happened with Juan and Miss Canada. And like, we don't actually know the specifics, but it seems like he fucked her. And we don't know, have any of that information. But two of the people who were... continuing the narrative around this, including Giselle, were aware of something that the other castmates weren't. So I understand that. I don't see as much of a... I get it. In terms
it's not about information
being revealed that makes a person re-look at the season as a whole, as well as understand frustration that might be felt by cast members who are like...
They're very different situations, but at their core, it's people that are withholding information when they're living their lives out on a show. And,
sure.
and the other people on the show probably take personal offense to that, to those people not being living authentically when they are.
Yeah. And a part of living authentically from the perspective of other cast members on VPR is like, you're living authentically is like fucking somebody else on the cast when your long-term partner girlfriend is also in the cast.
Yes.
Like the authenticity here is really negative and really fucked.
Yes.
I do though want to acknowledge there has been language used in discussing some of this that makes me uncomfortable as a woman.
Like what language?
Calling Raquel a slut, calling her a whore, saying things that are, to me, I just think of the like, aside from the like women supporting women aspect of it,
because right.
she wasn't doing a great job of that when it came to Ariana. I just think we don't need to
get into some sort of slut or
woman shaming until the point in which Sandoval is having those kinds of characterizations attached and used as the primary identifier. There is language that makes me uncomfortable. However, all of that being said, there is also a rage here that I think might be hard to understand that does to me feel very specific to a woman's experience. Mm. Being cheated on by her partner, boyfriend, common-law husband, whatever, okay, that needs to be acknowledged, but also a very deep truth for a lot of women. Not everybody, and guys, again, Gibson, but also everyone listening, it doesn't take away from the gendered aspect of a lot of vitriol headed directly at Raquel, okay? Because also at a certain point, we acknowledge that Sandoval's a piece of shit, like, the Raquel news here is news to many people, not to Katie, but like to some people who weren't aware of this. However, there is a specific kind of betrayal that is cutting to a lot of women, putting aside the boyfriend part of it, which is the betrayal of a very, very close woman friend. Because while we make jokes about how all guys are a piece of shit at the end of the day and like boys being boys, which is also can be a gendered way to get someone from being held responsible for their behavior of like, well, all guys are pieces of shit. Like there's also truth that many guys, I'm not going to argue with that. Heterosexual men are like kind of hot trash. Putting that aside, like there is a safety that many women find in our platonic relationships with each other,
of course,
and a level of intimacy that we share where we can talk about our relationships with a significant other, but we can also feel a lot of very, very deep love for each other and safety. And while surely there has been a gendered response of a lot of negativity Raquel's way, there is also a sense of betrayal that many of us feel in seeing a woman betray her close friend with this affair, which is a different conversation from like the derogatory language that people are using that dabbles in slut shaming, which is a gendered,
of course,
you know, sitch. It takes away from it putting that aspect aside, the betrayal of it is for some of us deeper from the Raquel perspective, which isn't saying she's more responsible for this than Tom, because there's that conversation too. Like, Tom is the one ultimately who cheated on Ariana, but the betrayal that Ariana surely feels from Raquel's betrayal of their friendship for a woman, as Ariana has shared, who has had really unsafe relationships previously, including with former partners, to have someone that you bring into a very close circle seem to gleefully engage in this for so long. You're hearing all the examples of the things that they were doing as winks to each other about this affair, while saying in press interviews how much Ariana means to you, how, what a good woman she is. I cannot invalidate genuine upset that a lot of, not to say it's only women specific, but from the perspective of a woman, the betrayal of a close confidant is deeply, it can completely break a person open, because those are the people day to day who hold you up.
100%. And that was really well said. And I also think part of that feeling is probably, she was probably, again, confiding in Raquel about things about her relationship with Tom Sandoval. So then, I'm sure Raquel was running right back up to her, to Sandoval, and telling him what Ariana was saying.
I can't even imagine. Right. Oh my God. Like, what a point.
Right?
What a point.
Like, and
I didn't even think of that. Like, I didn't even think of that.
Like the first weekend.
I didn't even think of that.
Imagine you're Ariana 2 days after and you're like, oh my God.
I just told her.
2 months ago, I told her that we
weren't
sleeping together.
Right.
Or that he doesn't feel like, you know, whatever she could have said.
Right.
I'm sure Raquel was running back to him with that information.
And also, Raquel, how are you doing in your life? Are you seeing other people? You deserve to be with someone who treats you well.
So
you
fucked.
Deserve to be loved. Like, there are so many layers to this that while I can absolutely appreciate and understand and agree with some aspects of the gendered response here being inequitable, right? There is also this very specific kind of betrayal that has triggered a lot of people for various reasons, including people who aren't women, who don't identify as women, who are like, I was betrayed by a close friend, or my close friend
losing a friend,
stood up someone. It's just
losing a friend is almost worse than a breakup sometimes.
Yes.
And that's part of the conversation that's happened on Summer House with Danielle and Lindsay. Like, they're all saying like, losing a friend like that is devastating.
And
not that losing a partner like that is also not devastating, but like, again, you're right, it's a different kind of devastation, I would say. And and I think that is maybe with women it's not as overshadowed, but I think in the grand scheme of things, that's that the betrayal between Raquel and Ariana is being, you know, maybe rightfully way overshadowed though by the Sandoval of it all. And it's, you're right, it's a little bit, there's more to it.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And I think more people are, it just all of it honestly is so shocking.
I really
honestly feel a level of shock that this has happened. But I also just, it's just, it is overwhelming to think of that, because that is exactly right. Like, to be betrayed by a friend at that level, especially one that you're like on reality TV with, and one who you've tried to support through this process.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows if Raquel thought of Ariana or didn't, but like, there's no good answer.
No, there's not. Yeah. And I think part of why this world is so like insular and like, for lack of a better word, like a little bit incestuous, they all dip in the same pool. I think it's partly because like the reality star experience is so specific, and I think that only certain people can really understand it. That's why I think Lindsay and Carl got together, because it's probably hard as a normal person to date somebody on reality TV. So it's like they have these shared experiences that make them closer, that push them mm-hmm. closer. And it makes something like this that much harder.
Yeah, I mean, there's the idea of like, don't shit where you eat, but a lot of these people have been fucking shitting where they're eating. It's like, well,
Their relationships with normal people that are not on shows, they're don't work out because it. Those people don't want to share their lives in that way. They think they might want to, but they don't. They don't.
They might also not understand the stakes here. Yes. Of like having a camera crew shooting 24/7 or 20 whatever, blah, blah, blah. Math is right. hard when it's not a sample sailor restaurant. Uh-huh. You know, I think it's, you know, and we got into a big fight about blah, 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 blah. And it's like, okay, that doesn't sound that bad, which can be helpful in being grounded by having someone on the outside. But it also could be someone invalidating the perspective right. of all of this stuff feeling so, as Kristen said, I can't go back because it's too toxic.
Exactly. Like, and also like these kind of things happening is good for business. And that's like fucked up.
Bravo makes out great.
You know, and we got good entertainment out of it. And they know that and they can play into that. But like, I don't want my life to be that way. You know what I mean? Like there's a reason again why they circle back around to each other, because they all know that they're okay with being part of this life. And the survival of their show is based on drama and relationship problems. And you know, the show was on its last legs up until this season, and then all of a sudden broken up and divorced, and now we have a cheating scandal, and it's like, okay, Vanderpump Rules is back, and it's like, it's not lost on me that is kind of fucked up in a way, but also the shows at a certain point when they get long enough into their run, it becomes like a meta thing where like it's not just about their lives, well, it is about their lives, but it's about their lives on a TV show and how that's all played, how that all kind of
great
like
point.
Levels into each other. So, and that's what they've sort of, I think, almost leaned into with this season of Vanderpump Rules. Mm-hmm. I tweeted after the premiere that like why it felt so good is that they've leveled it up. They've ignored the restaurant. They're the same kind of youthful, messy people, but they're dealing with elevated issues. You know, we have the LA Times article. We have divorce. We have business problems. Those are Real Housewives topics. Those mm-hmm. those are not things that we were necessarily talking about on Vanderpump Rules two seasons ago, you know? And I think the stakes are higher with this group now. They're all in their 30s and 40s for the most part. And like, shit gets real, you know? And most of them are not in their 20s and can just come back from like a fuck up, you know? Like, you can't shake your head and be like, oh, they're young, they'll learn. That's not true anymore.
Yeah, and also I don't know that you can come back from.
No,
this.
You can't. I'm just in the past. I mean, like season two, there was a huge cheating scandal. It was a right. different kind of scandal, but most of them came back from that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I, you know, there is a when you've been on this kind of show, this specific kind of show that's like a little bit dirty, yep. a little bit trashy at points, that used to be about a very specific group of friends mm-hmm. that has now opened itself up to formerly strangers joining the cast with a very different idea of the show that they're on than the OGs were, if and are likely no longer. It became cosplay at a certain yeah. point. It became like, we're at Sir, wink, wink. We have on our like little server outfit, wink, wink. You know that we're, aside from Peter.
He's still up, like, sir, you guys.
Nine to five.
Mr. Manager.
It's 4 to 11. You know, aside from people who may, in fact, actually work at these places, there was the idea of putting on the costume to fit the narrative.
Right, totally.
And what has felt so shocking to so many of us is like, wait a second. The costume was like the shit that was going on of like you saying you're a great boyfriend.
Right.
Meanwhile, you're like fucking another member right. of the cast. That has been what has been so shocking to mm-hmm. so many of us.
Yeah.
Which returns in some ways Vanderpump, I don't know, back to its original form, because I don't think that that could ever exist again, because these people were not on reality TV when they started this show. But it does bring it back to it's, the level it's, of shock and connectiveness 100%. And everyone reacting at the same time to the same crazy news.
Remember 3 years ago when the cast was like 20 people, they brought in those two guys. They brought all these people. And like that was great. It became inauthentic. And essentially the arc of the show has gone from a show about a staff at a restaurant to a show about reality stars who have maintained,
who now own restaurants,
but it's they've maintained that, they've gone back to that insular nature that I think working at a restaurant it's inherent to working at a restaurant,
right?
But now it's inherent to being on a show. Now it's inherent to their shared experience of being in front of cameras and living their lives in this way. It's incredibly interesting to me. And again, for better or worse, like the show hasn't been in this good of a spot potentially ever in terms of continuing its run.
Yeah. And I do want to acknowledge, we literally have not talked about New Jersey or Miami a little bit for such good. This is why I'm so glad that ups are two up a week.
Yeah.
Because I really do. I need to like get your thoughts on a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Okay, great. I do want to, though, acknowledge Ariana's statement before we can move forward. Just going to do a little reading of it. Meredith can go fuck herself. I'm done with her because I'm not a fucking whore and I don't cheat on my husband. Her and her dumb fucking family that poses. Why don't you own a house? Oh, wait, you can't because your husband changes jobs every 5 minutes. Meredith is a piece of fucking shit. I had your back and I'm offended by that. Fuck you. That fucking piece of shit, garbage whore. I fucking hate her. She's a whore. She fucked half of New York. She can go fuck herself. Sorry, I just had to do that.
Listen. A little bit of a throwback.
Okay, here's what Ariana said, and then we literally must move on. In her return to Instagram grid. Hi, where to begin? I want to express my sincere gratitude for the outpouring of love and support I have received from friends, family, and people I've never even met in the last 2 weeks. When I have felt like I couldn't even stand, you have all given me the strength to continue and seen me through my darkest hours. To say I have been devastated and broken is an understatement. However, I know that I'm not in this alone. So many of my closest friends are also grieving this loss right now and reeling from this betrayal on so many levels. I'm so fucking lucky to have the best support system in the world, and I hope I can repay every single person for the love you have shown me. What doesn't kill me, better run. Love, Ariana.
Name a better statement. And what I didn't realize, so that line at the end, what doesn't kill you,
yeah,
what doesn't kill you,
better run.
I got the fucking chills the first time I read that.
Same.
Iconic. Somebody on Twitter pointed out to me that that's actually a lyric from a Kacey Musgraves song from her divorce album that she released last year, and the song is called What Doesn't Kill Me, Whatever. It's a line from that, from the chorus of that song.
Uh-oh, you don't want to bring up Kacey.
And it's that's a pretty hardcore divorce album, you know? And so like that, now we know that Ariana is spinning fucking Kacey at her house.
Oh God, Kacey Musgraves can save the world.
Save the world, but she's stewing, you know? And there's some anger in that music that's probably getting her going.
Yeah, and I also have to say, I thought when I reposted it, I was like, Kelly Clarkson, even though it's not the same lyrics, what doesn't kill me makes you
same
stronger.
Same sentiment. Get Ariana on the Kelly Clarkson show.
I mean, listen, I just need a dibble dabble.
Let's dibble dabble.
Just a little dib.
Let's dip our toes in the Hudson.
Amen.
Yeah.
Jersey, how are we feeling?
I'm really loving this season.
Are you?
I am. Same. I'm really loving it. I think the new additions are really great for different reasons. Mm-hmm. I personally am not exhausted by the Teresa and Melissa of it all. I think it's obviously darker than it's been potentially ever, definitely in a long time. And I don't know how they're going to proceed on this show after this season. But for this season, I'm down for it. And I think that the addition of the newbies and some of these sort of side feuds is diluting the water a little bit around that,
yeah,
which makes it easier to think about what's coming. I think it's going to be really intense, but yeah, I'm really loving this season. I think they needed new blood, but also ultimately, again, Jersey, it's calling card is that it's a family show. It's about family.
It's a family show not meant for all families to watch.
Family is the theme of the show. It's certainly not a family show.
Get your preschoolers.
It's not a family show. But you know what? I I was watching it when I was like, what, 15, 14,
yeah,
whatever.
Same. How old are we?
30.
Okay. I identify as Dylan Hafer's age. I say I'm spiritually mid-20s plus.
Okay. I'm down for my 30s. Okay, great. But regardless, it's a family show. No, it's a show about family, so I just can't imagine the show without them, but I don't know what they're going to do.
I just got an idea for my birthday cake.
Great.
Thank you for that
Lovely.
Inspiration.
This is a family cake. This is a family van.
It always has to be Bravo themed.
This is a family show with a family van on it. Actually, no family van.
Can I ask you a couple wham, bam, thank you, ma'am questions?
Throw it at me.
Do you think that the women are afraid of Marge?
Oh.
Of course, my questions are all really complicated.
I actually do think that some of them are afraid of her because I think that she... I think that she can not, I don't know if weaponize is the right word, but she gets information that's actually true, mm-hmm. and she uses it at opportune times.
And very effectively.
And I think that there's probably a little bit of a, they're probably a little threatened by her. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Teresa's ever really liked her, to be honest. And I know they're like in a better place and she goes to the wedding, what have you. But I don't think she's ever actually really liked Margaret because I think she's been a little bit threatened by her. Because Margaret, I know that there's a lot of people online that don't like Margaret. But Margaret, to me, has been a great housewife since her first episode. She was extremely capable and she gets this game really well. And I think that that's scary to people.
Well, I also think there's a difference between threatened by and threatened of. Like, I think that there's a sense of like being threatened of someone
right.
responding in a way where they're going to drop a fucking nuke.
Yes.
You know?
I think that's going to leave a mark. I think 100%. I think it's an information thing, but I also think it's like a territorial thing. It's like, because she's, I think that Margaret probably wants to come for the crown, mm-hmm. you know?
Wedge between the cousins, who's to blame?
Louis.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. Did the Gia confessional, when the producer says,
When
was the last time that you guys were good?
Mm-hmm.
Before Louis.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what changed. I think you just told yourself what changed.
And yet, this week, conversation, why did Antonia not go to Melania's Sweet 16? Was it gymnastics? Was it cheerleading? Was it something else? Not the same thing, obviously, in the level of importance.
Yeah,
but
of course.
Everything that these families do to each other now is symbolic.
Thing. Of course. And here's the thing, like, okay. These kids have their own phones. These kids can communicate with one another if they really, really want to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they feel like they have to stay in line behind their parents. But if they want to see each other that badly, they could see each other.
Okay.
Nobody's preventing that from happening. I know Melissa's not preventing that from happening, so.
Okay. Frank and Dolores's transition in terms of emotional intimacy.
My interview with Dolores came out today.
How was it?
It was really great. Dolores is always an amazing
queen
interview. And I'm definitely thinking that I'm all for Dolores setting up a boundary. It's about time that happened because I don't think if she didn't set up a boundary, she would never be able to maintain a healthy romantic relationship in her life.
Great point.
And Polly is not threatened by that word again, is not threatened by Frank, but he is like, for this relationship to work, you have to come to me. And I think that's incredibly valid. And Frank can go cry in the corner if he thinks that that's some sort of like, you know, if it's messing with the family dynamic. Your kids are grown up. They're in their 20s. Things change, you mm-hmm. know, and I think that longing for the good old days, it's like, that's just unrealistic. And times change. Dolores is stepping into her power. I think that I feel like every season she's been on, she's owned herself more and more. We see her like, even just like in her, like, I think she feels like sexier and like I feel like she's like owning her sexuality more and like her independence as like a strong woman. Like, she's always been strong, but there's like a difference.
There's a joy we see.
Yes, 100%.
There's a joy.
And I love the effect that Polly's having on her. And I love Polly's vibe. And I think they seem really happy together. So like, if to make that relationship work, just to set up a boundary, I'm all for it. We saw what happened with David.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, you know, Frank has really appreciated being a little bit of a surrogate there in mm-hmm. Dolores's life, especially when David was abundantly emotionally unavailable. Yeah. And the thing is, like, that wasn't necessarily healthy.
Yeah.
And you're upset that it ended, but the upset, you know, it's it went on for too long.
100%.
It just went on for too long.
100%. And she's not casting him aside. He's always, I mean,
they're
still going to be extremely close. Like, I think that he's being a little dramatic. And I also think with Polly, it's like David didn't even want to be on the show.
This is such a change.
And Polly did
wants to support
Polly is fine to be on the show, but he doesn't care about the show.
Right.
And that's incredibly important.
Right. Absolutely. Switching gears to Miami, just a couple. I love that my keep it fast and loose are all like very complicated questions, but welcome to Andy's Girls. Do you agree with Alexia that if Lisa was a star, Lenny wouldn't have cheated? What was your reaction to that?
I was flabbergasted by that. Like, ending that first part of the reunion with that comment.
Wild
behavior. And I love Alexia, but I do think there's a lot of validity in of course, the accusations that she does not know how to apologize correctly.
Yes.
And or enough, or that's pretty clear. It's pretty objective. I think she's kind of blinded by a little bit of the power going to her head a little bit, because I think, you know, she's been gassed up as like the Teresa of Miami, which I think she is. But that doesn't mean that you...
That's not always a compliment.
It's not always... That's a good point. And it's also that's based more on like their life experience, I think. Not necessarily... it's not necessarily like who they are, not who they are as people. I think that a lot of that comparison really came from that. When they showed her package and it was, she was the only one that was supposed to be speaking, and she was like, this is my segment, this is my package. Like, that was interesting to watch.
Also, her having a moment in the dressing room of like being
with Julia, yeah,
and like
that was very interesting,
being emotional, and then the second that Adriana cut in, the change was honestly phenomenal television.
That was incredible.
I don't remember TV.
I don't remember a recent example of like a really good backstage moment like that. Oof. That like went on, you know what I mean? That was really good. And I'm still trying to piece together the Adriana Alexia,
I always
Marisol.
Say Adriana because I'm New Jersey.
I never know which one it is, honestly.
Because
they also say both, and I don't really know. Anyway, I just think there's more to the story there.
Mm.
I think that either Marisol and Alexia, there's something that they don't want to talk about, or they just like the change in how they were like speaking about her and treating her this season. I just feel like there's something else we don't know, because it did feel like they were sort of looking for a reason to dislike her, and she gave them that reason, and it was a very good reason, I think. She fucked up, but like before that there was a weird vibe, and so it's sort of like, I don't think they just woke up and decided to dislike her. I think that something happened.
Yeah, and there's also the element,
and she doesn't know about it, or she doesn't realize that she fucked up a different time or something. I don't know.
Agree. And there's also the element, as Alexia said, of like, I'm not a mean girl and you're not going to put that on me.
Yeah.
And it's like, well,
she's putting on herself almost.
Well, both by her behavior in the moment. That's a great point. And also I'm not a mean girl because of this thing you said to me toward the end of filming. And there is the question of, but what about everything else?
Yeah.
What about everything else? And I love everyone in this cast, honestly.
Me too.
And I really, really enjoy Alexia and Marisol. And there is absolutely validity to the argument of like, well, they've been kind of shitty, you know?
Right.
So like, you don't want to own up to your behavior, babe. I mean, it's why you're a good housewife, because mm-hmm. you absolutely have a disinterest and upset
of
when
course.
Being told you need to be held accountable because she refuses to identify her behavior as problematic.
Exactly. Yeah, that's totally. And she's worried about how it's coming across. It's this whole thing.
She's upset about how other people in Alexia's eyes are negating or calling her behavior mean.
Right.
It's like, how dare you say my behavior is mean? That never happened. But if it happened, it's because of
yes.
this thing that happened at the tail end.
Yes.
Filming.
And I would say that this season was like a banner season. I think it was I can't
back.
Say enough good
we'll never
things.
Get this back.
But that's this is what I think that for season six, I want all of them to come back. Obviously. No changes.
Kiki.
Especially Kiki. I think she's fine to stay as a friend, but I do want more of her personal story given to us.
Because
I feel like I got a drink with her in Miami and she has a really interesting story.
Oh, I love that you got a drink with her. I didn't know this.
Oh yes.
What did you guys drink?
I got a skinny margarita.
Oh, okay. Go
Her stylist came with us.
Love.
She got some sort of cocktail, some cute little cocktail.
Phenom.
She was great. And I'm just saying, I know there's a lot more to her life that we don't know about. And she referenced being cheated on in one of the episodes. And we don't know that story at all. So I'd like the gaps be filled in with her. But I still think she's a great friend. And potentially later on could be full time. But I think that we need, there has to be a bridge to get to that point with her, I think. What I was getting to is, I think that Alexia and Marisol just, I agree. I love them. I think their behavior is not great. But they also have to be really careful about stonewalling too much, because we know that these shows have to move forward. And if they're not going to be able to move forward at all with Nicole, if they're stonewalling Adriana so intensely, that creates a blockage in the group that never works out on any of these shows. And all that does also is create more sympathy from the audience for whoever is being blocked out.
Mm-hmm.
It's what they try to do to Wendy on Potomac, and it made everybody sympathize with Wendy. So that they did have to be really careful with that. And I hope they can move forward next season. I hope a producer gets in their ear and tells them that.
Is Larsa a, what was it? Larcenist?
A larcenist?
I had never heard that.
I'm a larcenist. No, I mean, I'm so just like compelled and fascinated by her. I know that she's like wrong, like 89% of the time.
89.6.
But she stepped it up this season in a way that I just really appreciate. And I know that she is pretty reckless with what she brings up, and she exaggerates and she can't own it. But I still kind of love her. I'm sorry. I think that she's great TV.
The effect of it might be reckless, but she knows exactly what she's going to do and when.
Yes, she... Again, I really think that this season was like, especially the people, also people loved her at the beginning of the season. Let me remind you that.
Yeah.
People loved her. They turned on her, but they loved her. So there's a lot of good that she brings to the show in terms of entertainment value and getting information out there.
My favorite thing, I'm laughing, is not only how annoyed Andy is at her like sort of insolence, but her being like, listen, I didn't judge you having a child out of wedlock. And Andy being like, do you understand that that's a pejorative? Do you understand that that's I didn't judge her for saying she had a child out of wedlock. And it's like,
it's unbelievable.
You saying the word wedlock is a judgment. That brings an immediate negative connotation to the idea of having a child without being married. Do you understand that? But I didn't cast aspersion on her having a child.
It's like simultaneously there's such a lack of awareness, but also an awareness. It's just weird. I don't know if we've ever had like a housewife really like her before in this new incarnation that she's given us. And I'm into it. I'm sorry. I know that it's reckless, but I'm into it. I'm sorry. We need a shit stirrer.
We need a shit stirrer and one who is as effective as she is.
And doesn't give a fuck.
And refuses to understand how words mean. To me, it is so
rewarding to watch.
What words mean?
Larsa Pippen pop off. I'm sorry. She can go from 0 to 500 and just go for the jugular so quickly and like effortlessly. That's a skill, baby. And again, I don't always agree with it, but I like to watch it.
Honestly, guys, if you're not watching the Miami reboot,
you're fucking up.
You need to. You have my permission, even though I'm saying it with a little bit of an eye. You have my permission to start with the reboot seasons if you are asking me for my opinion.
Yes.
Which people have. That being said, if you have the time, right? Go to season one of the original and watch it from there, because you need to understand the change not only in Alexia's life and in her communication style, but the way that these women all, you know, just have season one as background music while you do something else.
And
honestly,
season one is like 7 episodes or something.
It's super short. What I tell people, I tell people the same thing.
If you really want to catch up quickly, do 4 and 5 and then go back and do 1, 2, 3.
That's smart.
Also, because season two is like literally one of the best seasons of Housewives we've ever gotten. Literally.
Ooh.
Season
two,
it's Joanna, joined, right? It's the assault at the lingerie party. I'm sorry, it's an amazing season of television.
The
reunion
is great.
I forgot about
the assault at the lingerie party. That was a real
moment. And also, Adriana was like, I think if people start with season four, they're kind of confused by Adriana.
Oh, Adriana!
But Adriana in the original run of the show was by far my favorite on the show. I thought that she was the star of the show back then.
Wow!
And I think that also informs how she acts now, because she really wants to be full time and she's just not going to be. I don't think.
Also, I think her life would be different had she not betrayed Leah Black. I think totally. Leah Black.
Yep.
Was very, very upset.
And that was season two as well, right?
That was three.
Oh, was that three? Okay.
I think that was three. Actually don't remember. No, it had to have been three. Okay. It had to have been three.
Okay. Yeah, but... Oh, no.
Meaning it could have been
because,
two.
Because
guys.
Sorry, we're like yelling now. The season two reunion is where the sort of seed is planted. I think if I remember correctly, Leah like sort of says something against Adriana or vice versa. And then in season three, it's...
Oh, God.
And then Adriana gets married in season three. Almost lives on a boat. Like it's
almost lives on a boat.
Yeah.
She almost traveled the world on that. Wasn't it a beautiful boat, or was going to be a beautiful
boat? It was under construction by her French boyfriend.
Yeah. Husband.
Her husband. But she gets married to him in the finale. She's like,
again,
she's like an
hour.
They were
actually secretly married the entire time.
Oh my God. Yes. And then she was an hour and a half late for her own wedding.
Whew.
Listen, I could go on.
You know what?
I should come back and recap with you.
You know, we've talked for a hot minute. I wasn't expecting us to do Scandoval 101, but I did have so many questions because this episode in particular kicks off a really biting rest of the season.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a lot of complicated parts and aspects to discussing a lot of our reactions. And I'm really appreciative to you for being with me on this journey today, because I do think there is a lot of value in having these conversations. And the one thing to kind of keep in mind with Andy's Girls is I do not think of myself, my intention here is not to convince someone that they are wrong of their opinion or to say that my opinion is right. It's to have a conversation with people who hopefully have different opinions, different perspectives, different reactions, so that we can talk about it. Yep. It is not to say that this is how I feel and how I feel is the truth. If I felt that way, I would be on reality TV and
totally.
I'd be a pretty okay.
You'd be Alexia.
I would be Alexia.
And yeah, I think I told you this after I was here last time, but like I love coming on the show because it forces me to think differently about all of this stuff. And I think that, you know, we all talk about it online, but there are very few people online that are willing to have actual fruitful discussion about it. It's like it's you're right, I'm wrong, or you're wrong, I'm right, I'm team this, team that. But ultimately, there's so much nuance and gray area, and that's to me what's the most fun about these shows. Mm. And so I just appreciate you having a space for those conversations, because they're worth having. And I do like thinking differently about these things, because we all have our opinions and our bubbles that we're in as we're watching. But get out of that bubble, you know?
Well, thank you for saying that. And I also think like there's a lot of power in how we work on our strength training, which is withstanding for some of us the idea that we, God forbid, can hear a conversation and maybe find value in it without either always hearing opinions that we agree with, or believing that because someone believes differently than us, their voice is invalid.
Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't happen.
Right.
And I think, you know, women are not a monolith. So my, understanding around betrayal when it comes to the friendship betrayal of it all can be very different from another woman
saying,
you know what, actually it's X and Y and Z. So at the end of the day, these are two people talking, you and I, one and one is two. Look at that math skill happening right now. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Loves it.
Living. But I think that it's important to kind of just like reset the table now and again, because it is also a terrific way to try to minimize someone's opinion of saying it shouldn't exist because I disagree. Well, let's work on our active listening now and again and have different people having different conversations. Ideally, they're not of the same opinion that I have, or there's a different way of thinking about things, because if I had someone that agree with my opinion every week, number one, I truly don't know what I'm saying while I say it. Welcome to Stream of Consciousness. Yeah. So they would have to be, I don't even know how that would work on our personality DNA. But number two, that's not interesting
to me.
No,
it's not. No.
It's not, I would learn nothing.
No.
And I have a lot to learn.
Yeah. I love to be challenged on what I think about these things.
Yeah.
As long as that challenge comes from doesn't come from a bad place, doesn't come from a place of wanting, like, just wanting me to be wrong. You know what I mean? And yeah.
And the only other PS I would say to the Scandoval stuff of it all is that a lot of people have a lot of opinions, including feeling hurt or upset maybe about another person's feeling about the Scandoval of it all. And I just want to say, just as like a general whatever, that I think the place that not everyone, but that many people are coming from is either one of previous hurt. We have no idea what another person has experienced, mm-hmm. regardless of them saying like, see you next Tuesday, or like, go fuck yourself, or you're a piece of shit, you know, posh.
Garbage whore, piece of shit, cokehead every day. Yep.
Like, if you're poshing, maybe that's language I might not use, but I might not have experienced a level of betrayal that you have.
Exactly.
So I'm going to try my level best to understand that in the ways that another person is characterizing what they've experienced, the level of vitriol or language that they're using can very well be based on some genuine, real hurt and betrayal, which has enabled them to communicate in a different way how they feel about this. And I also think the way that I've heard from people saying, listen, I have nothing but, let me rephrase that. I have a lot of empathy for Raquel, for example. I've gotten a lot of those messages of like, because I feel like she has been misled. I feel like she's been taken advantage of. And I want to create space for that and not invalidate that belief and opinion. And also
even
say,
if you don't agree with it,
even if fully. I don't agree with that, I think that there are a lot of truths, and that could potentially be one of them without absolving her of being accountable for her behavior, and also acknowledge that the level of empathy that a person could have in sending that message of like, I'm worried about the social media that's headed her way. I'm worried about the effect of that long term. Like, I'm worried about her relationship with Sandoval. It just, to me, says so much in a really lovely way to me of that person's empathy. And I think that, like, regardless of whether or not I agree with or disagree with it, the ability to feel empathy for a lot of people in this situation, it just shows to me a lot of positive aspects to the way that people are receiving all things Scandoval. And I just think at the end of the day that, like, empathy in this world is not something that we can't.
Don't take it for granted. It's genuinely is valuable.
I think that, like, ideally, at the end of the day, the mission statement of AG is obviously talking about the psychology that we feel not only about the women's behavior, majority women that we are watching and reacting to that, and also understanding the way our perspectives shape our opinions and bringing with that potentially a lack of shame, right? And I think that removing shame from some of this and maybe feeling or you know, having a little bit of shame in others. I just think, like, providing a space in which people can, like, safely communicate how they feel about these things without feeling shameful or diminished for having value in these conversations is a positive thing to have.
100%.
Why am I, like, speaking about that in a tone of voice? Like, like a little baby dinosaur. No, I don't know what's happening.
Gibson,
you're my safe space.
This is our safe space.
This is our safe space in the closet.
In the cloth next to your not bad for a girl with no talent poster.
Shout out to Milk and Don't Call Me Honey. His handprint is all over the
account.
You guys, if you're not following him, Tom Smith is an incredible writer.
Also, don't say you don't have any talent. You can do math at the.
I know. I have an illustration of Kim K and her saying not bad for a girl with no talent, which I have on display each every day. Listen, can you tell the AGs where they can sign up for your newsletter? Where they can listen to your podcast, how they can follow you on social.
If you've gotten this far, my because I know we talked a lot. My podcast is called We Should Talk. I do an interview or two a week, usually with somebody from Bravo, not always. This week we have Dolores. Next week we have Gabby from Summer House. And you can follow me at Gibsonoma, GIBSONOMA on all socials. I have a newsletter linked in my bios on all those. So follow me.
Love that. Did you see your social?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I think.
Oh my God, you guys, my brain. Listen, there's a new Andy Scrolls Patreon episode up now, AG Patreon, the number one way to support the pod, which includes me deep diving all of your satchels of gold, as you guys know in the AG world, satchels of gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns about all things Housewife, Bravo, and more, named in honor of Her Holiness Kelly Clarke Ben Simone. And it's a satchel spectacular, talking about all things Scandoval through your reactions and processing what we are watching on TV and off. So listen to that episode up now at patreon.com/andysgirls. $2 a month gets you some love and sass and being a supporter. $5 a month gets you 2 bonus episodes, and $10 a month gets you 4. And if you join the people's couch, that premium tier, you can record a Patreon episode with yours truly. That'd be me. Which is real fun.
How do you do it all?
How do I do it all? I don't know, but you can see more of it on my Instagram at Dame Galley. I'm not a Twitterer, but I do love to see your tweets when...
I'm definitely a Twitterer.
I love it because I've seen comments by Bravo has been reposting you a lot, which I love.
Those are my girls.
They're phenomenal.
They're my girls.
So shout out to comments by Bravo.
Okay, you'll see.
A lot of muscles I have the day, Danny.
I haven't posted it yet, but... So when I tweeted something about the Scandoval, like the first weekend it was happening.
Ooh.
And Sonia Morgan replied to it. And she was like, what's going on? Explain, Gibbs. And it was just explain Gibbs. Like that just 2-word phrase. And I sent it to them. I was like, this is so funny. Not for them to post it. Just like, I know they love whenever somebody weighs in on anything. And I got a package in the mail. And it was a framed printout of that tweet.
From who?
From comments by Bravo.
Shut up, they send gifts
to their valued connections.
Comments by Bravo, you put up a couple of things. I don't think any of them are necessarily frame worthy.
It was just we were texting about it. It was whole thing. I did not know they were gonna send me that. So I'm not I'm trying to make a TikTok, but it takes me a long time to make a TikTok of things. So eventually I'll turn the tweet into the
I'm not young enough. Anyway, I'm a very old spiritually.
We need to stop talking. Oh,
you know what I'm getting done tomorrow? Even though we're stopping talking, what? Chopping all my hair off. I haven't had a haircut in five. I haven't had a haircut since right before BravoCon.
Wow.
I know. Now I'm spiritually blonde. You can't even tell because
that's going to be powerful.
It is going to be powerful.
Yeah, I love that.
Gotta
for you.
Cut pre-birthday. It's things giving, are happening. Like, the spring, Big Aries the, energy.
We're going into spring. It's
hello.
New season, new us. You know.
I mean, swipe right. Spring fling.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
Y'all. I'm losing it. I'm so sorry.
We're done. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.